Okay, what are the five steps of treatment?
R-U-R.
Yeah?
Are you insane? No.
T-R.
Can we be a little more explicit? Yeah?
Realization.
Yay. Yeah.
Release.
Yeah. Yes.
Hi.
Oh, hi. last month, Connie talked about the use of the law, and I would say that the law is kind of like a piece of dough. You stick your finger in it, and it leaves an impress. And so every time we use our mind to think or to create, we're like that finger pushing into the dough and leaving an impress wherever we go. So today I'm going to talk about the first step of treatment, which is treatment is a way you could think of to focus the law in a very concrete way as opposed to just thinking randomly. And so religious science has come up with a five-step process, as we all know now. And it assumes that back of every physical object there's a thought that or a feeling that inspires the creation. In Sterling Study Group, we have a lot of opportunities for talking about treatment since it is the main tool of religious scientists, that and meditation. And we have a 13-week class called Foundations that Connie will be starting later on in February. There's also a spiritual practices class which covers both meditation and treatment. The foundation class itself has a one-day workshop on treatment. And in addition, there is a talk every month from now until June on the various parts of treatment. So what I'm doing today is I'm going to talk about that first step. The purpose of the first step of treatment is to allow us to connect with a power that is greater than ourselves and to begin to feel ourselves as limitless beings. And a lot of times, if we're coming into a treatment from a feeling of upset or anxiety, we feel very focused on what's going on inside. And the first step, or the realization that there's something outside of us or inside of us too, that's much greater than any circumstance in the world, we can begin to move from the place that we're in into a greater place, such as you would feel it if you got on a hot air balloon and you started rising up above the earth, and all the things, the people, the houses, the trees would appear smaller. That's kind of what treatment does. Hi.
Hi.
I'm Judy.
I'm
oh, that's great. I'm so happy you came. Okay. Well, that's great. Well, what I'm doing today is I'm talking about the first step in what we call treatment, which is a religious scientist's view of prayer. And in essence, it's kind of connecting with all that is. And so I think there's a lot of ways for us to capture that feeling of connection with all that is. A little theory behind the practice. There's a premise from which we do the first step of treatment, that is that there's a power in the universe that's greater than we are, and we can use it. That's the essence of religious science. There's also a divine intelligence that surrounds us and supports us, that each person is a divine creation of this divine intelligence. In other words, we're all God. And we can use our mind to tap into the spiritual truths of all ages. In other words, there's no thought that's ever been thought that we can't grasp. And we always know that God is out there for us as opposed to against us or trying to punish us. So with that, we enter into treatment knowing that everything that we could possibly desire is there for us. And so Holmes would say that if God is in every place, there is no place where God is not. So in the midst of the storm, there's calm, and the center of every man's life is pure spirit. We can only get back to it by imbibing the nature of its being and the spirit of its nature, by being like it, by focusing our mind outwards we begin to change our thought patterns. You could call God anything you want. And one of the things I did, we practitioners love to comb through the writings of Ernest Holmes, and so I did a little exercise in preparing for this talk. I looked for all the names of God that Holmes used, and there are many in the world. There could be Allah, Spirit, Universe, Buddha, Infinite Mind, the One, Force, Light, or as Phil said the other night at his party, it's all God, when he was looking at a piece of chocolate cake. I don't know if there are enough of these to go around, but what I did was I just randomly went through the writings of Ernest Holmes and identified all the names of God. So you could see that you're not limited to just the word G-O-D, but there are many things that you could think of that are God. So if you're ever at a loss, pick one or two. And you can always tell when you're reading any of Holmes' works, they're the words that are capitalized. That's an easy clue to what he thinks God is. But the question that kept coming up for me as I was preparing for this talk is, what if you don't believe in God? Does treatment work? If you're a skeptic. Now, I think two of the least likely people to talk about God or to perform music about God are perhaps Steve and myself. I was raised Congregationalist, and to us, God is kind of an abstract being that's out there, and the Congregationalists had their roots in Puritanism, and it was not a God of fun or laughter or pleasure. It was kind of a very rigid and kind of a very left-brain thing, and I couldn't relate to it. I really couldn't, and it wasn't until I started exploring myself a little more that I realized that I'm a very feeling person, and if I don't feel the essence of God when I'm praying, then it's very difficult for me to have a lot of conviction that what I'm talking about in my treatment can really happen. And for all of us, conviction is really important when you're doing treatment. It's always helped me to focus on something that's outside my body when I start trying to do a treatment. When I first began studying religious science seriously, I'd go out in the woods a lot. I camped. I would spend time looking at the sky overhead at night. And the moment I started looking at that and appreciating the fact that that was God's creation, in fact, that was God I was looking at, the birds overhead were God, I began to be able to do things like look at my hands, look at my legs, and say, that's all God. Every cell in my body is God. There is no place where God is not. That's helpful for me. And then I asked my friend, Erlene, who lives now in North Carolina, what she thought about maybe not trying to think about God in this first step of treatment, but just thinking about a power that's greater than ourselves that's outside of us. And I thought about rainbows that we can look at that are so beautiful. But yet if I ever tried to capture the essence of a rainbow and put it in a box, I wouldn't be able to. All I can do is sit and contemplate and notice how beautiful it is. But I can't really grasp it. And Erlene told me that she wakes up often in the middle of the night, and with where her new bedroom is, she can see the moon streaming in. And it seems to her like the moon is smiling at her as she awakens. And she could feel this powerful connection between herself and the moon. And so it's possible to connect with things outside ourselves and feel that essence of something greater, a power greater than ourselves, without having to call it God. Holmes says it's a beautiful and true thought to realize that every man stands in the shadow of a mighty mind, a pure intelligence, and a divine givingness. The farmer has seen the heavenly host in his fields. The child has frolicked with him at play. The mother has clasped him to her breast, and the fond lover has seen him in the eyes of his beloved. We look too far for reality. Holmes also says that he believes in the fatherhood of God, the brotherhood of man, and the bond of unity that binds us all together in one perfect whole. He believes that God speaks to us in the wind and the wave and proclaims his presence to us through all of nature, but mostly through our own minds and in our hearts, which proclaim both his life and his love. So that gives you a lot of latitude for thinking outside the word God for the first step of treatment. I also thought of my grandfather, with whom I spent a lot of time as a child. He was raised in Switzerland, and like myself, at a very early age, he had a near-death experience. And I think it made him into a mystic. I can remember as a child that he'd often sit and just stare all of a sudden. And one time I asked him what he was doing, because it seemed like he was tuning everything out. And he said that God was in everything. He'd look at trees, he'd see God. He'd look at birds, he'd see God. And I didn't think of him as a religious man at the time, but now as I think back on my grandfather and those early experiences I had with him, how much he taught me about the God that really is for me when I am praying for others. It's the God that's everywhere. It's the God that's in the trees and in the smiles of infants. It's not the God I was raised with in the Congregationalist Church or Steve in the Catholic Church. So, Steve has another song for us about God and nature.
The Catholic Church didn't last very long. When I was in fourth grade, my father said, "You don't have to go anymore if you don't want to." My father became kind of a raging skeptic, and for him, Sunday services were held at the baseline of a tennis court. When Judy was telling me about her ideas, talked about the rainbow, trying to get that rainbow, I thought about this old song by Donovan. In the chilly hours and minutes of uncertainty, I want to be in the warm hold of your loving mind. To feel you all around me and to take your hand along the sand. Ah, but I may as well try and catch the wind. When sundown pales the sky, I wanna hide a while behind your smile. Everywhere I'd look, your eyes I'd find. For me to love you now would be the sweetest thing, would make me sing. Ah, but I may as well try and catch the wind. When rain has hung the leaves with tears, I want you near to kill my fears, to help me to leave all my blues behind. Standing in your heart is where I want to be, and I long to be. Ah, but I may as well try. I also wanted to talk a little bit about an alternate way to connect with all that is, and that is through energy healing. I've done a lot of energy healing as a Reiki practitioner, and I've used treatment while I was doing that. And I don't know how many in here have studied Reiki. Can I see any show of hands? Energy healing?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Well, when you're studying Reiki, you get an attunement for each degree of training that you get. And you start out with an attunement that opens up some channels in your hands, and you're able to theoretically take universal life energy, and it's funneled through you and out through your hands as you're working on another person. And then at the second degree, you get another set of attunements that allow you to connect with your mind to anything else in this universe, whether it's a physical being or it's another thought. And so I think that when you think about sending healing energy either through your hands or through your mind to another person, you are connecting with all that is. You're connecting with the greater stuff that surrounds us, and you're able to channel this wonderful, wonderful love that exists all around us. You take it in through you and you send it out through your thoughts or through your hands. And energy healing to me is analogous to prayer. And I've seen some miracles that happened using energy healing. And to me, prayer is another form of energy healing. Holmes wrote a book on distance healing that's not very well known. And he had this wonderful quote, and he says, "What is spirit?" And the acceptable answer is God is spirit. God is the ever-presence who moves through all, in all, and over all, who fills all things with his presence and moves through everything and knows no space nor bounds. He is here, he is there, he is everywhere. That sounds like Zeus. Into this great ever-present spirit we pour our healing energy. And so that's the essence of prayer. I wanted to close by saying that we all need to remember that no matter where we are in our life, whether we're feeling down, whether we're on top of the world, that there's always a power in the universe that's greater than we are that we can use in one way or another. And I've tried to give you a couple of ideas for ways that we can connect with it. And Connie will start talking in the next month about the step called this unification, which is that we are one with that, with all that is. And we can discover our oneness with that spirit. Thank you. And Steve has one last song.
Okay, this one I wrote. Fairly recent one. What would you be if you could be anything? Would you be a teacher? Maybe the president? Or nothing at all? Or something different each day? What would you be?
And when you smiled, I knew. that's who you are, the love of my dreams. What would you be if you could be anything?